Welcome back to the deep dive. You're here, I'm guessing, because you want to get smart fast on stuff that actually matters.
And that's what we try to do, yeah.
We take a, let's say, complicated stack of info, could be research, reports, you name it, and we boil it down to the core stuff.
Get right to the point.
Exactly. So today, we're diving into something pretty interesting. How TV is changing in the Caribbean. Specifically, this move to ATSC 3.0, next-gen TV, they call it.
Right. And we're looking closely at Trinidad and Tobago and Barbados.
Yeah, we've got source material on their plans, what it all means, the challenges. Quite a contrast between the two, actually.
Hopefully.
And hey, if this kind of regional tech stuff grabs you, maybe keep researchbarbados.com in the back of your mind. We might mention it again later.
Good point.
So our mission today, simple. Give you the real picture. Where do these two islands stand on this next-gen TV tech? What are the cool possibilities? And crucially, why do their paths look so, well, different right now?
It really is a tale of two islands, isn't it? You've got Trinidad and Tobago. Seems like they have a clear map.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barbados. Well, still figuring out the route, perhaps. It shows how, you know, different things push tech forward, even close neighbors.
Absolutely. Okay, let's jump straight into Trinidad and Tobago then. The sources, they make it pretty clear TNT isn't just thinking about this, they're doing it.
Right. Their telecommunications authority, TATT, they officially adopted ATSC 3.0 way back in January 2023.
Wow. Yeah, that's decisive. And they've got targets, too. Digital switch on 2025 and analog completely gone by 2026. That feels quick.
It is ambitious. I think what's significant there is the regulator, TATT, taking the lead. It signals, you know, a strategic push, future-proofing their free TV.
Yeah, not just about better pictures.
Exactly. It suggests they're thinking long-term about how people get information, entertainment. Those timelines, yeah, they're tight, but they show real commitment.
And they've got good reasons, right? ATSC 3.0, it offers some really compelling stuff that TNT seems keen on.
Definitely. The potential for enhanced quality is a big one.
Yeah, we're talking potentially that super sharp 4K ultra HD picture, immersive audio sound that really puts you there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus getting free TV on your phone or tablet. Imagine that, catching the news, no data charges eating away.
That mobile aspect is key.
And interactivity too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making TV less passive and this broadcast internet thing, data casting.
Uh-huh. That opens up interesting avenues.
Yeah, like remote learning. TAT actually mentioned e-learning specifically. Oh, and super important for the Caribbean. Advanced emergency alerts. A warn. Much richer info maps, video maybe, during hurricanes or whatever.
That a warn capability, given the region, could be transformative. So it looks like they're really aiming for the whole package.
It does. It raises the question, though, how do you manage all that?
Well, TNT setting up that DTT steering committee with groups for comms, finance, technical stuff, that seems like a smart move.
Yeah, practical.
You need that kind of coordination for something this big. And launching a demo station with CCN television. That makes it real. Shows it works.
Totally brings it to life. Okay, so that's TNT. Clear direction.
Yeah.
Now, Barbados, the picture there, it's fuzzier.
Considerably, yeah.
Our research, it indicates no official public word on a specific digital standard or a timeline.
Right, which puts them behind TNT and Jamaica, too, who are, you know, further down this road.
Yeah, one source just flat out said, no decision reported on DSO standard, timeline, or compression for Barbados. Pretty blunt, pretty uncertain.
It's the lack of announcement that's telling, isn't it? Digital TV transition, it's been on the table regionally for a while, so Barbados being quiet.
Hmm, suggests different priorities, or maybe roadblocks.
Could be either. Or both. Internal hurdles, maybe.
Now, it gets a bit murky. We did see a Wikipedia mention. It says, maybe a DTT transition starts March 2025 for CBC, the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation.
Okay.
Big but. Zero official confirmation. Not from the government, not from regulators. And crucially, it doesn't say what standard. Could be ATSC 3.0, could be something else entirely.
Right, that's a critical missing piece.
And yeah, Barbados is involved in spectrum planning, you know, UHF band stuff for mobile internet, IMT. But like you said, that doesn't mean they've picked a broadcast standard.
Exactly. Spectrum planning is necessary, but it's not sufficient. It doesn't lock them into ATSC 3.0 or any DTT standard.
So the situation in Barbados just feels much more up in the air. Unresolved.
It really highlights that picking the standard is a major decision point they apparently haven't reached publicly. Maybe they're still weighing options. Maybe there are delays. Maybe focus is elsewhere for now.
Okay, so we've got this contrast. TNT moving forward. Barbados waiting. Let's dig into what makes ATSC 3.0 itself so different. It's not just like ATSC 2.0, is it?
No, not at all. The sources really hammer this home. It's a fundamentally new system built using internet protocols, IP-based.
IP-based, okay.
Think of it like moving TV from old radio wave thinking to speaking the internet's language. It's actually a whole suite, like over 20 technical standards all working together.
Wow.
And the key idea is merging traditional over-the-air TV with what broadband internet can do. That IP core, that's what enables all the advanced stuff.
Okay, and this is crucial for everyone listening.
Yeah.
It is not backward compatible.
Absolutely critical point. Your old analog TV, nope. Even your current digital TV that gets ATSC 1.0, like in the US, still nope.
So you need new hardware.
You do.
Yeah.
Either a brand new TV that specifically says ATSC 3.0 compatible or a set-top converter box. That's a big ask for consumers, potentially.
Yeah, definitely a cost factor.
And that break from the past, it was intentional to allow these big leaps in what the system can do.
Okay, so what are these leaps? Let's get into the tech a bit.
Mm.
The physical layer, how the signal actually travels.
Right, the foundation. It uses something called OFDM modulation and LDPC FEC codes. Okay, simplifying that.
Please do.
OFDM is like sending lots of small, robust signals instead of one big one that can get easily messed up. Much better for mobile viewing, fighting interference.
Ah, okay. Like for watching on a tablet.
Exactly. And the LDPC FEC codes, they're like built-in spell checkers for the signal, fixes errors, keeps the picture clean, even if reception isn't perfect. It also means flexible data rates and multiple physical layer pipes, PLPs.
PLPs.
Think of it like lanes on a data highway. Different lanes can carry different things. Main video, maybe audio, maybe data. And each lane can have different levels of protection, different speeds, more flexibility.
That highway analogy helps. Okay, so that's the signal. What about what we actually see and hear? The quality.
Potentially a huge jump. We're talking support for up to 4K Ultra HD. That's, you know, super sharp. And potentially higher frame rates, too, like 120 frames per second.
Which would be amazing for sports. Smooth motion.
Right. Then add high dynamic range HDR. That gives you much better contrast, more detail in the bright spots and the shadows. And wide color gamut, WCG, for way more realistic, vibrant colors.
Okay, sounds impressive.
And it uses the AGVC H265 codec to deliver all this efficiently. But your old standard def or even regular HD shows won't magically get HDR or WCG. The content has to be made that way.
Got it. Needs to be native content. What about audio?
Equally big upgrades possible. The standard mandates support for Dolby AC4 and MPEG H3D audio.
So like Dolby Atmos. Surround sound coming from everywhere.
Potentially, yes. That kind of immersive experience, but also practical things like clearer dialogue, a feature called Voice Plus. Lots of people would appreciate that.
Oh, definitely.
And consistent loudness, so no more grabbing the remote for loud ads. Plus, personalized audio, maybe boosting just the commentary track during a game.
Finally, consistent volume. That's a win. And this is all squeezed in more efficiently, right? Better compression.
Exactly. Compared to the older ATSC 1.0 with MPEG 2 video and Dolby Digital Audio, these new codecs are much better at squeezing quality into the available bandwidth.
So broadcasters could offer better quality or maybe more channels.
Potentially both. And one more tech bit, the bootstrap signal.
Okay.
Think of it like the first handshake. It's a simple, robust signal your new TV finds first. It tells the TV, hey, I'm ATSC 3.0, and here's how to understand the rest of the fancy stuff coming. It's designed to be future-proof and can carry basic emergency alert info, too.
Okay, makes sense. So lots of tech jargon. How does this actually, you know, make watching TV better for me sitting on my couch?
Right, let's translate. Benefit one. Obviously, much better picture and sound. That potential for near cinema quality, free over the air. That's the headline.
Okay, that's a big one.
Benefit two, free mobile TV. Watching on phones, tablets, maybe even in the car without burning through your mobile data plan.
Yeah, that's appealing.
Then interactivity. Enhanced program guides are just the start. Think personalized suggestions, maybe voting in a poll on screen, or even a start over feature if you tune in late. Platforms like Run3 TV are working on standardizing this stuff.
Interesting. More like a streaming experience, but over the air.
Sort of, yeah. And benefit four, which we touched on, but is so crucial, advanced emergency alerts. A warn.
Right. The rich media alerts.
Exactly. Getting maps, videos, evacuation routes right on your device, precisely targeted to your location, with a wake-up feature so your device turns on for critical alerts. For the Caribbean, with hurricane risks.
That could literally save lives.
Yeah.
Huge potential there.
Huge. And finally, benefit five, Data casting. Broadcast internet.
Still sounds a bit sci-fi. What could that really do?
Well, TATT mentioned e-learning materials delivered over the air, but think software updates for devices, maybe enhanced GPS data, potentially offloading some data traffic from cellular networks supporting Internet of Things devices.
Wow, okay, so broadcasters become data pipes too.
That's the idea. It opens up whole new business models for them beyond just selling ads. It's a fundamental shift. They could become part of the critical digital infrastructure.
Okay, so lots of potential upsides. Now, is there a catch? We need to talk about DRM, Digital Rights Management.
Right, yes, the double-edged sword. ATSC 3.0 does include provisions for encrypting the signal and using DRM.
Why? What's the purpose?
The stated goals are, you know, to protect the broadcast signal from piracy and potentially enable new business models like subscription tiers for certain over-the-air content.
But this hasn't gone down smoothly everywhere, has it? Like in the U.S.?
No, it's been quite controversial. There's been significant consumer pushback over concerns about potential restrictions.
Like what kind of restrictions?
Things like maybe not being able to record shows freely like you can now, or having recordings expire, or maybe disabling ad skipping on recordings.
People wouldn't like that.
No. And also the need for specific certified tuners or TVs that enforce these rules. There's a worry it undermines the traditional freedom of free over-the-air TV.
And I read something about needing an internet connection.
That's another concern, that some DRM systems might require the TV or box to periodically check in online to validate viewing rights, even for free broadcasts.
Which feels counter to the whole over-the-air idea.
Exactly. It raises big questions about who controls the viewing experience. So for Trinidad and Tobago and for Barbados, if they go this route, how they handle DRM policy is going to be critical.
Yeah, balancing protecting the content versus keeping it accessible and user-friendly.
Yeah.
A tricky line to walk.
Very tricky. Get it wrong and you could actually hinder adoption of the very standard you're trying to promote.
Okay, so let's swing back to TNT and their rollout. We know. Adopted Jan 23, aiming for 2025 switch on, 2026 analog switch off.
Oh?
And that simulcast period, right? Both signals for a while.
Yeah, up to 18 months, according to the plans. Gives people time to adapt, buy the new gear.
So for the average person in TNT, what's the bottom line?
Well, the promise is better picture, better sound, those electronic guides, maybe interactivity down the line. But the immediate reality is you will need new equipment.
A new ATSC 3.0 TV or a set-top box.
Correct. And probably a decent UHF antenna because the broadcasts are moving to that UHF band, 470, 698 megahertz.
And TATT is trying to help people figure out what to buy.
Yeah, they're pointing towards resources like the NextGen TV logo website, watchnextgentv.com, to help identify compatible gear. But still, it means shelling out money.
Which won't be easy for everyone. That cost barrier is real.
Absolutely. Now, for the broadcasters and the industry there, what's the impact?
Well, opportunities, right? Like that data casting for e-learning, the advanced alerts, new services.
True. But also, significant cost. Big capital investment needed for new transmitters, studio upgrades.
Unless they do that shared network thing, the SFN.
Exactly. The single frequency network model is being seriously explored. The idea is multiple broadcasters collaborate, potentially sharing transmitter infrastructure.
Which saves money.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
The analyses we saw suggested significant operational savings OPEX with an SFN compared to everyone running their own digital transmitter, or definitely compared to analog.
How much savings are we talking?
The numbers were something like annual OPEX around TT, $270,000 per broadcaster with an SFN versus over TT $1 million for analog, or maybe TT $450,000 for individual digital transmitters.
Okay, that's substantial.
And a much faster payback period for the initial investment too, like 4 years for SFN versus maybe 12 or more otherwise. So economically, it makes a lot of sense if they can coordinate it.
So it seems TATT's main driver here is really about making sure free TV survives and thrives long term.
Sustainability.
That seems to be the core motivation, yes. Making the sector viable for the future.
And leveraging big events like the World Cup in 2026 or elections in 2025. That's smart. Give people a reason to upgrade now.
Definitely. High-profile events are a classic way to showcase the benefits and drive adoption of new TV tech.
Okay. Now, back to Barbados. The uncertain landscape. No confirmed standard, no timeline. Unlike TNT, we don't see clear strategic goals mentioned, like focusing on data casting or specific alert systems.
Right, and it's worth noting, the main free-to-air player there is CBC, the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation, which is state-owned.
Which could mean the financial burden falls largely on one entity, the government. essentially. That's a potential factor, yeah. Less opportunity for cost sharing, like in a market with multiple private broadcasters exploring an SFN, for example.
So do we think Barbados might eventually get drawn along by the regional trend? By TNT and Jamaica moving ahead?
It's possible. Regional influence or internal pressure for modernization could eventually push things forward. But right now, it's mostly guesswork.
Yeah. And the impact on viewers and industry there is also speculative. If they do adopt ATSC 3.0 eventually, viewers face the same equipment costs. CBC faces that big investment.
So why the delay? What could be holding things up?
Well, several possibilities mentioned in the research. Cost is almost certainly one. Regulatory capacity managing a complex transition like this takes resources.
Political will, too. Is it a top priority compared to other national issues?
Right. Maybe debates about which standard is best or which model to use. And some sources just point to a generally slower pace for adopting certain critical technologies in Barbados.
So likely a mix of factors.
Yeah.
Economic, regulatory, political, technical debates. All potentially contributing to the current lack of clear direction.
Okay, let's pull back and compare these two paths side by side. TNT proactive, regulator-led, specific standard chosen, clear timelines, focused on advanced features.
Right, a structured approach. Versus Barbados, apparent indecision, or at least significant delay. No confirmed standard or timeline publicly known, less clarity on strategic goals for DTT.
So TNT is positioning itself as a potential regional leader here, getting ahead on next-gen broadcasting.
While Barbados risks, well, falling behind. Missing out on those potential benefits we discussed, the better quality, the alerts, the data casting potential.
The contrast really is quite stark, isn't it? TNT's strategy seems clear. Barbados, not so much.
Mm.
Raises questions about lost opportunities, maybe.
It does, but look, even for TNT moving ahead, this transition isn't easy. Any country doing this faces similar big challenges.
Okay, let's talk hurdles. Economics is huge, right?
Massive. Broadcaster investment, transmitters, studios, maybe SFN costs, licensing fees, it all adds up.
And consumer cost. Those new TVs or boxes, affordability, and just availability in stores are key.
Absolutely. And don't forget the cable and satellite guys, the MVPDs. They have to receive and retransmit these new signals. That costs them money, too, and could affect negotiations over fees.
Okay, so money's one big area. What else? Technical stuff.
Oh, yeah. Deploying the network itself is complex. Transmitter sites, ensuring good coverage, especially if you're doing an SFN, which needs tight synchronization.
And managing the airwaves? The spectrum.
Crucial. Assigning channels, avoiding interference, managing that simulcast period where old and new run together, then clearing the old analog spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you need people who actually know how to operate and maintain this new tech, trained expertise.
Definitely sounds complicated. What about market factors? Getting people on board?
Essential. You need massive public awareness campaigns, like TNT is planning. People need to know why they need new gear and what's in it for them.
And the gear needs to actually be there to buy, right? Affordable, certified receivers.
Exactly. Timely availability is critical, and you need content. Broadcasters need to actually produce and transmit stuff. 4K, HDR, immersive audio that shows off the benefits. Otherwise, why upgrade?
Good point. If it all looks the same, why bother?
Precisely. And finally, there's the regulatory and policy side.
Like managing that simulcast switch off. TNT has that 18-month limit.
Yeah, managing that smoothly, maybe needing to update content rules for the new possibilities, and circling back that critical decision on DRM policy.
Right, balancing content protection and viewer freedom.
It really takes coordination across the board. Regulators, broadcasters, manufacturers, retailers, consumers. If one piece fails, it can impact the whole thing.
We've seen some stumbles in the U.S. rollout, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's not simple.
No, it's complex. And maybe Barbados' slower pace reflects some of these inherent difficulties, too. TNT's multi-stakeholder committee, though, that seems like a good way to try and tackle these interconnected challenges head on.
Yeah, trying to get everyone pulling in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
It underlines that you need a holistic plan, right? Tech alone isn't enough.
Not even close. You need the economics, the market plan, the policy framework, all aligned.
So wrapping this up, this shift to ATSC 3.0, it's clearly a pivotal moment for TV. Huge potential. But significant hurdles, too.
Mm-hmm. And we see that reflected in the very different situations in Trinidad and Tobago actively rolling it out in Barbados, where the path is still, well, undefined.
But the implications go beyond just TV, don't they? Modernizing media, how public services are delivered, maybe new economic avenues in this digital age.
Definitely broader potential impacts.
Success really hinges on tackling those key issues. consumer access and cost, managing the spectrum smartly, developing content that makes the switch worthwhile, and getting that DRM policy right.
And the lessons learned from TNT and Jamaica, too, will be really valuable for Barbados and other Caribbean nations watching closely.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to see how this plays out. What's the long game here?
Well, it's not just about a prettier picture today, is it? It's really about shaping how we get information, critical alerts, entertainment tomorrow. It's laying groundwork for future innovation.
A thought-provoking way to end it.
Yay.
So for you listening, maybe think about how these tech shifts might change your access to media and info down the road. And hey, if this dive into Caribbean tech got you curious, perhaps check out researchbarbados.com for more context on development in the region.
Worth a look.
Thanks for tuning in to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.